Welcome to Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Author and attorney Roberta Grimes will explore and illustrate how she, after an extraordinary experience of light in childhood, has discovered channels of communication to the afterlife and how these implications have an effect on our everyday lives. Please welcome the host of Seek Reality, Roberta Grimes.
This is Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes, and I am thrilled that you're with us today. We're going to have a fun hour. People have an extraordinary relationship with their pets. I've learned this. Cats, yes, but especially dogs. Wow. I guess I've always known how important dogs are to people, but never before more than now. Because 2 years ago, I published a blog post entitled Pets in the Afterlife. And soon it began to come up, I guess, on the first page of search engines, because when people would search on that topic, you know, with a bereaved pet parents, find my article, and I would hear from them. I'm hearing from bereaved dog parents now almost every day, so I know how important dogs are. And having seen how intense that relationship is, I think I probably should not have been surprised to find someone who co-wrote a book, in fact, two books, about humans with his dog. After all, who knows us better than our pets, right? Andy Paverini shares my wonderful publisher, Christina Vanderson Publishing and Media, and like all the CFA authors, he has a spiritual bent to his message. But from the viewpoint of a dog, this is going to be fun. His two books are Hunter's Tale, A Dog's Guide to Human Healing, Love and Peace, and Hunter's Tale, A Guide to Touching Human Hearts One Soul at a Time. Welcome, Andy. I'm thrilled to have you with us.
Thank you, Roberta. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Now, your books are really playful. I mean, the thing about your books is that they're written, you're Hunter's paw. They're written in Hunter's voice. Hunter, of course, being your beautiful dog. But I know you have a serious life, too, beyond your relationship with Hunter and with Hunter's brother, I guess you call it, whose name is Tucker. Tell us a little bit about your past so people will know who they're hearing from.
Oh, wonderful. Yes, I never sought out to be an author, and actually never sought out to be a, as some people would call it, a dog owner, which turned into what I call a pet soulmate relationship. I had grown up in New York and worked for Microsoft Corporation right out of school in the city, and had plenty of dealings with Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer, and took that journey for about a decade. It was a big time in the industry for computers in the 1990s, 92 to about 2003. And what happened was I lost myself. A lot of people do that. They get sunk into work and they say, who am I? And so long journey at work and career, and all of a sudden comes into my life Hunter, and everything changed.
Wow, that's an amazing story. So Hunter is a yellow lab who may seem like a spoiler, but all dogs have a very brief lifespan. That's part of the reason I hear from so many dog owners who have just lost a pet. He's since graduated, and I think the things he said since he graduated are extraordinary. I do want to touch on them as well. But so where did the idea come from to write a book from his perspective? How did that get started?
Yeah, well, it's really a great question, because when you go so far on any path in life, maybe too far, if you could find your way back, and my too far was in business. I had just immersed myself and immersed into business and technology so that I couldn't even communicate with anyone without bringing up the company or my role or exciting things that were going. So I began walking with Hunter every day. And the premise of my journey was that if you sit and or walk with your pet, dog in particular, it brings you back to you. And the reason is very simple. As Hunter describes in the first few paragraphs, dogs are absolutely pure, unconditional love, inside and out. They don't have this mind or emotions that twist them and turn them away from the possibility or potential for anything other than that. So by sitting with them, you just automatically come back to you.
Wow, that's beautiful. So this was your soulmate dog, really. But now, who is Tucker? Where does Tucker come in?
Yeah, Tucker, along the journey, came on it. And the first book is the kind of the explanation of how I became more spiritual. So that's part of what we'll talk about later. But I wasn't a spiritual person. I was interested to hear a lot about stuff, raised Catholic, and but not as spiritual. And so I really became deeply spiritual, which we'll talk about, and became in touch with myself. And Hunter describes that journey in the first book, and he brings along another soulmate, pet soulmate, Tucker. And the story, by the time you get to chapter 9, you will find is so dramatic because Tucker actually saves my life, just brings me back to me another time. So what a journey.
Yeah, it's wonderful to be dependent on animals as we are. I mean, with a dog, there's no nonsense. They cut right to the core. So I can see why having a close relationship with a dog that loves you and that you love would be an enormous spiritual boost. So, Andy, talk about that a little bit. You seem to be someone who also has done study from an Eastern perspective. So how does this all fit together?
Yes, thank you very much. I started to share a little bit about my background when I was younger at Microsoft and in New York City, very busy place, a lot of energy flying around, and grew up Catholic and turned to more Christianity and then became more spiritual. But I was still completely lost, identity entirely, until one day this beautiful Labrador comes into my life where I learned to become selfless. And the premise of all of Hunter's tale, as Hunter describes it and writes it in his T-A-I-L, his tales, is that dogs are pure, unconditional love, 100% inside and out, every ounce of them. And the reason why is very simple. They don't have mind and emotions that will contradict or give them choice or things to respond to energy-wise in the wrong path. They just love 100% their entire lifetime. So I always joke around, if a human lives to age 100, even though the pets sometimes make it to an age of 10 to 15 or something like that, they are pure unconditional love that entire time, 100%, and therefore, you know, a human can live out a lifetime of 100 years and still not get to that point. So that's really what we're trying to do, is trying to have people become more spiritual and learn to love.
Now, you approach this. One of the things that interests me about your work is that I do everything from a Christian's perspective, not Christianity, but the teachings of Jesus. And you're coming more from an Eastern perspective. So have you studied Eastern religions? How did you get there?
Yeah, I really have. And I've studied all sides of it. I grew up with Christian views and still believe in Jesus, and I have my own faith as well. I was extremely intrigued by 5,000 years ago, a book called The I Ching, where it's the book, Chinese Book of Wisdom. And what I found was that is written in 64 trigrams, and the human DNA strands that were basically brought to the forefront of technology and innovation in explaining it has 64 hexagram strands, and that was in the 1940s, 50s that it became more aware to us as a public. And they actually have a match together. If you put them into a scientific system. Yeah, so I started studying this thing called human design, and that's where I really learned a lot more about that Eastern philosophy.
Wow, I never knew that. That's fascinating. So what is transitional awareness? Because you talk about that in your book, and it's a term I've not heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, transitional awareness is a transition from an energy source, as we all are, from not being aware to simply being completely aware of who you are. and making choices and responses accordingly. You're transitioning, you know, who you think you are, who you've been told you were, to who you truly are.
So if someone were interested in starting a study, I mean, one thing someone could do would be simply to read these two books and get a kind of easy dose of the kinds of things you've learned. But what are some of the other things people might learn and might study if they were interested in looking at spirituality from an Eastern perspective?
Yeah, I think that what we read about and we learn is that the concepts of the soul, and you'll know this better than most, and some of the people that that we spend our time with. The soul, from my opinion, is, you know, this entity that will live beyond this world, earthly world. It came into this world. It chose a human body, if you will. And the idea or purpose of this world is to go back and have that authentic soul self reunite with the human body, what I call the earth coat, so that they're singing and dancing the tune that you're supposed to be playing for yourself. And when you do that, the magic of spirituality, that human spirit matched with your soul and the lessons that were here for you to play out really come alive.
One of the things that fascinated me, excuse me, was that I think it's in this the back of your second book. Mm-hmm. There is a letter from Hunter, I guess, received through Suzanne Wilson, and we all know her. She's the best medium there is. And he's talking about being one of your guides. That was fascinating. Tell us that story.
Yes. I'm going to start to get chills on my arms. There they go. I knew it. Suzanne Wilson, a dear friend, one of the most remarkable mediums and much more. And she lives here in Carefree, Arizona. She and I had not met before, so she knew nothing of myself or Hunter or the books. And when I did my first visit, she had said, well, I'm not getting anything. This is so strange because most people come to me and they want to talk to, you know, humans that have crossed over. And so all of a sudden she said, my dogs came up and sat next to me and they started giving me messages. And then I realized, that, you know, there was a connection with a dog, and that's when Hunter came into the reading right then and there. And she basically described my books, the titles of my books, the title of my future book, which is the second book, how the cover should look, and so forth, of everything that I had done before without ever knowing. Just remarkable.
Wow. Yeah. But I'm not surprised because I've had amazing experiences with Suzanne, but that is extraordinary. But he seems to be doing your guidance. He's somehow, he's an ascended being. Tell us that story, because it's new. This is new to me. I love it when I hear something new that kind of seems to fit with what I already know.
Yeah, well, I think it has to do, you know, with the concept of spirituality to tie it in. Everyone walking around this planet is trying to figure out, who am I? What is it that I want to create in this lifetime? And how do I get there? And it's not just this lifetime. I think the beautiful work that you do and that Suzanne does as well, and I encourage people to read and to really go beyond what our mind thinks, that we're all connected, not this world, but to other worlds and other dimensions. And this is just one that we're playing out. It takes a little bit of a leap of faith, but when somebody like Suzanne then shares with you confirmation of everything that you know and everything
yes.
that you actually did, well,
wow,
well
yes.
you have to understand. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's extraordinary what she's able to do, but it just confirms for me, just as it has for you, that, you know, this is all real. It's not possible for her to do what she does if it were not real. But Hunter, is Hunter part of your guidance team now? That seemed to be the case.
Yeah, and I talk about, again, my ideas, as you know, transitional awareness is every day that goes by, Roberta, I'm sure with you as well. I'm a student and a teacher of transitional awareness, of spirituality, of everything. And there's, you know, people that are listening right now that can teach us as much as we can teach them. So
oh, yes.
We all have separate gifts, and they're kind of, the idea is to get to that gift and to share it, and don't be afraid, because when you have confirmation that you have it, then somebody else is going to benefit. Somebody is waiting for you on the phone to take that gift and share it with somebody. And so I encourage everybody to do that. If it's writing a book, if it's trying to help a friend in need, you just have that conscious awareness of what to do. In this case, the Hunter and Tucker, as being guides for me, they were, because I would have never dreamed to write books, much less a book series, and now I'm doing children's books based on Hunter's tales, his teachings. So the books are a guide for me. The key thing I did want to mention, though, is that this world and the other worlds and other dimensions are connected, because any evening that I close my eyes and go into that dream world, and this is, again, where you and Suzanne have this tremendous gift I'm working on, but I really rely upon you as, you know, spiritual advisors and me as a student to get more connected and learn that. When I close my eyes and say, I'm going to talk to Hunter tonight, I'm going to talk to Tucker, I bring them into a reality state where I am touching them for as long as I want, and they are right there with me as if it's a physical world.
See, that's beautiful. Would you just briefly explain what you do? Because a lot of people who have lost a pet would love to know how they maybe can start to set up that relationship too. How do you do that?
Yeah, it's really simple. And again, the thing that we all have is the funnel of what we allow as a human to come into really mental and emotional plane is so wide. And most of these things we don't need to respond to, that it distorts and kind of corrupts, if you will, the beautiful, beautiful God-given energy that you have. And I say God-given because I do have faith and believe that. But no matter how anybody else feels, this energy is pure. And the more you can come back and concentrate into clarity, especially before you go to sleep, learn from, again, you and Suzanne as well. Just ask your spirit guides, ask God, ask Jesus, ask whoever it is that crossed over, please allow me to find you, and when you'll be available, I will be there to accept you. And you know what? They appear.
Suzanne has just published a wonderful book called Soul Smart, What the Dead Teach Us About Spirit Communication. And I recommend that to everyone. One of the things she does is to show people how they can set up a meeting either during sleep or during meditation with loved ones. And I would just add, the loved one could be four-legged and not two-legged. So I urge people to read her book and follow her instructions, because she counsels patients, because one of the things we need to do is help them to establish a good connection with us. But it works really well. And it's such a comfort when you know you really have not lost anyone you love. And that includes your beloved dogs and cats and other animals. For me, it's a horse. That relationship stays strong forever. I've heard people say a puppy is pain in a fur wrapper, basically, because they have such short lives. And that's very painful. You know that a dog will be with you for 10, maybe 12, 14 years. How do you handle that, Andy, when these dogs have been so important to you, and now they've gone back to wait for you where you're going to eventually go as well? How do you handle that? What advice do you have to people?
The both Hunter and Tucker have passed, but as I have written on Hunter's behalf in the first book into the second, they have left more information channeled, downloaded when they were here for me to pass through on their behalf. The lessons in the books, and there's more to come. I've got a third book coming in, children's book at the same time. I can tell you, as a human, part of the human experience, your heart will break. And Don't be afraid of that, because if your heart doesn't break, then what's the point of being here? It's never easy. However, the life-changing components of spirituality and truly being a spiritual individual, when you get to the point that you can be sad as a human, as I am often when I think of my boys, I can just tear up. I know that, as we talked about, Roberta, any night, including tonight, and I'll see Hunter and Tucker, I close my eyes, and before I go to sleep, I say, Hunter or Tucker, I need a hug. Just find me someplace out there. And when I go into dreamland, and I will, I'm certain of it, all of a sudden they appear, and I wrap my arms around each one, and I smell their ears. I kiss them. I hug them. I touch them, and I can pet them as long as I want, and I can throw the ball with them as long as I want. It's a reality of another dimension. And while it might sound a little bit odd to most people, if you can calm yourself and energy-wise, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later, that's what the books talk about, and you can get to that point where you're open and you ask to see them, they will be there for you.
Yeah, again, I recommend Suzanne's book very strongly, Soul Smart, Suzanne Wilson, because she teaches people how to do this. This is a skill like any other skill. Developing a connection with your pet who has transitioned to the point where the pet will show up in your dreams on a routine basis is just a skill. It's not something that only happens to a few people, and you've obviously developed that skill very well. And it's real, and it feels real. You know it's not your imagination. You know it's not just a dream. But they are waiting for us. Every animal you have ever loved is waiting for you when you transition. Now they're young and healthy, and they're thrilled to see you again. But fortunately, they don't pine for you, because they're in connection with you all the time, often when you sleep, and even if you don't remember it. And there's no time where they are now. So they don't have a sense, oh, 50 years have passed. It's as if they just saw you and there you are again. So it's really a beautiful thing. But I hear from so many people who are grieving their pets, and I just don't feel we can talk about dogs without mentioning that you're right. You're really going to grieve. I tell people one thing you might think about is getting another one, because sometimes pets will reincarnate. Suzanne has these two beautiful little mini schnauzers, and Suzanne Wilson has two little beautiful little mini schnauzers, and they turn out to be reincarnations of schnauzers she had earlier, and she was guided to them basically and chose them both, and then only later discovered that they were the reincarnations of two dogs she had earlier. This is not uncommon. It's like when children die, very often they will reincarnate in the same family or the same extended family. Well, dogs will do that too. So one of the things that people might think about is seeing if your dog is calling you to go to some specific breeder or some specific shelter. You never know. And I understand you had that happen with Tucker as well, right? Or was it with Hunter?
Yeah, actually, Suzanne had mentioned in a reading that we did that my childhood kitty cat, his name was Shopwell. My mom had found him at a grocery store, which was named Shopwell. Later turned into the food emporium, and we didn't change his name. We kept him at Shopwell. But Suzanne had mentioned that Shopwell had been studying me as a child to see if I'd be disciplined enough to write these books and continue forward with the messages that Hunter, who later came to me, again, unexpected because I wasn't looking or wanting a dog. I was too selfish back then. Said that, you know, we need him to carry through and write these books. And it's very interesting because you never know what's going to happen until you take the chance. That's a key message. And I think, again, this has everything to do with, I always come back to it, it's spirituality 101.
Yes.
There's so many things in this life to be afraid of, to worry about. There's so many things in life that create noise and a mindful and emotional battle that we're, you know, expected to respond to. Folks, the answer is really simple. The moment that you turn that thing off and then you just trust your gut and faith, then all of a sudden spirituality really becomes a priority and you have the steam horsepower to write a book. And I wrote two of them. And they weren't really simple to do, but I just powered through it. And I cried on probably every page that I put the thing through.
Oh, yeah.
Just take a chance. Yeah, I think you have to just take a chance and just trust. And at one point, I would like to say that the concepts of spirituality, I think, again, too, is that I believe all humans are here for a purpose. And the purpose is always going to be around love. You talk about it, Roberta. Suzanne talks about it. All the people that are really connected with this dimension and beyond will say that we're all connected to this one thing called love. And what love to me means is each of us wanting to touch another human heart, just one. You don't have to be Bill Gates and solve major issues across the globe, but just touch one soul at a time, folks, and you will be transformed. It's a beautiful thing.
That's, I think, a key lesson that our animals teach us, because their love is very single-minded. Dogs especially, they will focus on one person and give that person 100% of their love. They don't need to be loving the world. They need to love that one special person, and we can learn from that. One more thing I'd like to say about animals that die as well. Very often the people I hear from have tremendous feelings of guilt about their animals. That's really their grief, almost is more guilt than anything else. And usually when it lasts for like 5 or 6 months and they're still desperately grieving, it's because they feel guilty. Very often they'll feel guilty. I should have put him down sooner. I should, you know, or is he upset with me that I did take him to the vet? And I have never heard of an animal that was anything but grateful that we gave them the gift of freedom when their bodies started to break down. They'll never upset that you took them to the vet. So if anyone's thinking that they still feel guilty about it, dogs don't blame us for anything. You know, dogs are, what is it about forgiveness is the fragrance of the violet when you step on it? Well, that's exactly how a dog is. Nothing you can do to that dog that you love and that loves you is ever going to make that dog mad at you. So please forgive yourself and move on and enjoy your life, because the dog's waiting and is happy. And that's a beautiful message you give us, which thank you so much for coming and giving us the opportunity to talk about that for people.
Yeah, it's interesting because in the end of the first book, Hunter's Tale, A Dog's Guide 2, which is the name of the series, in this case it's Healing, A Dog's Guide to Healing, Love, and Peace. The
yes.
last chapter is All Dogs Go to Heaven. May that bring humans peace. It's worth the read. In each chapter of all of Hunter's books here, there's a lesson that's written. And for that chapter, All Dogs Go to Heaven, the lesson is live with no regret, but in love and peace. And so I kind of joke around and I say, for all of you listening who have, I know, heard the most beautiful poem, if you will, Footprints, of Jesus carrying the person on the sand,
yes.
and there was only one set of prints.
Right.
My joke is that Jesus was carrying me and Hunter and Tucker all at once.
Yes.
So,
well,
if you can think about it, you know, there's a lot of moments in the that these dogs are there for you. But I will say that if you truly become an aware individual of your own energy, what you'll find, and sometimes these are difficult topics, but I just do want to say it, the dogs read and react to your energy. Hunter, who had lots, 20, 30 fatty tumors all over him, I know he carried all my stress, as did Tucker. I know they did, and that's what they're here for. But you know what, folks? We can be more aware of our energy, and when you're sad and you're in an argument with somebody or you're feeling pressure, finances, or somebody is sick or something, turn to your pet, give them a big hug and squeeze, let all of your energy just go right to unconditional love, because that's what your dog wants and is there for, and then you know what? You're going to feel incredible.
Yeah, I think that is the great service that our animals of all kinds, but I think probably especially dogs, give to us. They call us back to love. They make love more important in our lives. They balance us spiritually in ways almost nothing else, and that is the beauty of it. Do you think that you actually channel these books, this information from Tucker and Hunter?
There's no doubt I do. Yeah.
Okay, wow.
I mean,
that's great.
there's things that I've learned, and I continue, again, to be a student and teacher of all this different stuff. But I'm telling you that as the greats have always said, the time to channel the most information seems to be right around that 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yes,
time.
And I
just,
know.
You know it. Yes. If you're aware and you can do it. I woke up twice this week at 3 a.m. and I was up for an hour and a half writing. And I didn't want to, trust me. I wanted to go back to sleep, but yeah. I couldn't. And the stuff kept coming. So then you're supposed to just stay awake. And boy, the things that came through are just absolutely extraordinary. Again, I'm in tears writing these things.
Yeah, I think because I have the same phenomenon happen. That's when I do most of my writing between about 3 and 5 or 6 in the morning. And I think it's because your ego gets out of the way. Your conscious mind kind of opens and allows your guides to work with you as they can't do in the daytime. But that's fascinating. Other people, I guess, have the same affliction I have. I have to go to bed very early because otherwise I never get any sleep at all. But it is truly beautiful to be in contact with spirit. And when you're in contact with the spirit of your dogs, that's wonderful.
I will say that the other thing too is kind of interesting here is that my day job, I'm still doing very large software sales and consulting today. That's my day job as well. And folks, you can do anything and everything and as much as you want or as little as you want. When you're an aware being, you'll let go of probably 6 to 10 hours of your day that are wasted on responding to things that just don't matter. And that's what the books really teach. And again, I wasn't really aware of this stuff until Hunter and Tucker really became my teachers, master teachers of that. But on a day-to-day basis, I do government IT security. And so I'm working with some of the largest federal networks today in helping to secure, the health of those networks so that the information is not getting out and protecting against threats. And I still have time to have a beautiful life of balance of spirituality in doing the books and other types of things. So there's really no end to the possibility.
Tell us about your children's books, Andy.
Yeah, Hunter, again, as being the author, and I'm just the transcriber of writing this stuff down. Hunter being the author, he has taught me and still continues to teach me through channeling here that everything in this world on the earth plane begins with and ends with children. Children are the most precious and important beings. Their souls must be listened to with sincere attention and trust. And so he writes that in a few of the chapters. And I'll just say why, because he made this point to me over and over again. We've all, I'm in my late 40s now, have been through tremendous amounts of pain. And children that are coming into this world can avoid that. Because the more aware we are, the more spiritual we are, and the more we transform our energy and become aware, transformation into a cleaner type energy in line with our soul, then we can just pass on incredible lessons to children as opposed to having them learn, the stuff the hard way and be hurt. And,
yes.
Yeah, so that's what he talks a lot about. Do you agree, Roberta?
Yeah, I mean, I what I love about doing children's books, and I've never done one before, and we're doing one now, really, that people have requested, we do. What I love about it is making things simple and clear. I mean, we as adults tend to complicate things so much, and a child speaks truly and speaks simply and understands more deeply, I think. I mean, every child newly born is an eternal being who has had many other lifetimes and will have many more. So to touch them when they're still developing in this lifetime, to me, is a beautiful thing. I want to do a lot more children's books now that I'm doing one. Don't you feel that way too?
Yeah, I absolutely do. And like you said, we both share Christine Anderson is our publisher, she's really been a great guide to me too. There seems to just be this energy between all of us here where she has made incredible choices with picking out illustrators that map towards getting those messages. And I'm really excited because I'll have both of the two books that I have that are the adult series are going to be translated. They're already finished and being in illustrated now. They'll be out in the summertime here as children's books. And they're a dog's guide to teaching children lessons of love. The whole idea there is listen to your heart. It always knows best. And the second book is a dog's guide to listening to your heart. All the answers are inside of you.
Wow, that's beautiful. Those two,
the messages are just beautiful. The same format where it each chapter has a title and a lesson. And then at the very end, there are questions that parents and children, ages 7 to 10 or so, can sit down and kind of discuss. And
that is,
that's spiritual.
We will have you back to talk about your books because they sound like they're really going to be useful and needed. And I'm all excited about children's books now. So let me know. Send me an email when your books are out, and we'll talk about them here again because even if people don't have a child themselves, most of us know children, and it's lovely to be able to be a spiritual help in each child's life. Children are deeply spiritual. That's one thing most people don't seem to understand. They really are, and they crave this kind of outreach and this kind of growth. So how can people reach you, Andy, if they want to talk to you? How would they get in touch with you?
Yeah, probably the best way is I do have a Facebook page, Hunter's Tale, T-A-I-L, Hunter with an S. So it's facebook.com/Hunter's Tale. And then hunterstale.com is currently my website. But the books are all available on Amazon. I think there's an email if you wanted to send it at hunter@hunterstale.com. And somehow you can reach me on that one. Yeah.
Are you doing a lot of speaking about this? Have you started to do some talking and presenting? You do that in your daily life, right? You do some presenting in various places.
I do book signings. We were in Barnes & Noble here on the West Coast. I am doing a bunch of talk shows. I'm immersed in these two children's books, and then I've got a third book for adults that's on their way. Again, thanks to Hunter, when I go see him at night, and Tucker as well, these guys are keeping me up for hours at that 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock hour because they're just dumping more information. And I'm like, just stop for a minute so I can relax. But I just keep writing and writing. So I think that there'll be a time, as Suzanne said, you know, my last thing, and everybody has to have a goal in their life, is at some point in the future, I do want to have a location in Oahu, Hawaii, where it'll be a center where people can come and visit. And all these concepts of Hunter's Tale and the books of spirituality, that they will be available for people to go through sessions and relax and really get back to themselves.
Oh, that sounds beautiful. I'd love to try that myself. Yeah, the idea of relaxing sounds very pleasant. Well, I've so much enjoyed. I've heard your name, of course, frequently because we were dealing with illustration. It took us a long time to find the illustrator for my book, in case people are wondering, will probably not be out till the end, close to the end of the year. And it's called The Fun of Meeting Jesus, and it's about children lost in the woods. And guess who they find? And what it is a way which people have requested from me for children to learn about Jesus without any of the complications of Christianity in the way. And the illustrations are just gorgeous. She was very careful in choosing a good illustrator. I think that's one of Christine's gifts, that she is very particular about those details. So it has been so good to have you with us. I consider yourself hugged from where you are to where I am. I've so much enjoyed meeting you, and we'll have to do this in person at some point.
Thank you so much. And I feel the same. I'm learning a lot. I love your books. I'm going to get to a few of your seminars. And I want to leave one message for everybody who's listening in. No matter where you think you are in the spiritual world, if you're down, if you're feeling disconnected, try one simple thing. Find a way to touch somebody's heart tomorrow. Give somebody a hug. Pick up the phone and call somebody. Do something to touch their heart. Just one soul at a time is all it takes to make a difference. And it will come back to you from above, from below, from sideways, everywhere, you know, a gazillionfold. That's my commitment to you.
Thank you so much, Andy. And we'll be talking again soon.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, everyone, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes, and I'm glad that you could join us today. Always know every moment of your life that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, you never will end. And when you really understand what that means, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. Next week, our guest is going to be, for I think the second time or the third, Cyrus Kirkpatrick. Cyrus is a prodigy in the field of afterlife studies and the study of the greater reality. He's in his early 30s, but he's already the author of a terrific book called Understanding Life After Death. I call it The Thinking Person's The Fun of Dying, because while I write simple books for people who urgently need the information, he writes as a scholar, and yet his books are very readable. I'm very happy with Cyrus. We all are. Wendy and Victor Zamet are thrilled with him, and we see him as really one of the leaders of the next generation of doing this work. Next week, he's going to share with us his exciting experiments with out-of-body travel, so please join us. Today we've been talking with Andy Paverini. It's hard even to categorize him, but he is a person on a mission, and what he teaches is absolutely beautiful. The hardest part of our being in these bodies is it's so difficult for us to see reality except as we see it from these bodies. With his books, we can get outside our bodies and see reality in the pure mind of a dog. And his books are beautiful to read and full of wisdom. And I just give him so much credit. He started out with Microsoft, and now look what he's doing. My own nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, The Fun of Growing Forever, and The Fun of Living Together. You can find them in bookstores, on Amazon, as audiobooks, and in 34 languages worldwide. And if you ever want to talk to me about anything at all, just contact me through robertagrimes.com. I answer every email. I am especially grateful to all of you for listening. Idea how precious you are to me, and if you ever want to talk to me, just contact me. I always love to hear from people. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being, and always know that you are infinitely loved.